You're listening to Over the Night on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Harrop.
Welcome back in. This is Over the Night with Matt Harrop here on SB Nation Radio. Now let's talk NFL with Jeff Hauser, national radio producer, NFL and college football contributor, writer for SB Nation. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Radio Hauser. That last name, H-A-U-S-E-R. Jeff, really appreciate the time coming on so late. I want to begin with Dez Bryant. Obviously, Dallas releasing him a couple of days ago. Why do you think, Dez has come out with his theories, why do you think Dallas ultimately did decide to move on from Bryant? Because you look at that wide receiver, you know, one through four right now, the chances of them competing with the Eagles, I think, go drastically down without Dez. Now, having said that, his numbers have gone drastically down over the last couple of years. But why do you think the Cowboys ultimately decided to move on from him?
I think it was for a number of reasons. I think one being money, and you look at what Dez was making in comparison to his production. It's just gone steadily down and down and down. And, you know, I don't know. I think that when you look at the Dallas Cowboys from the outside looking in, you look at a team that you could say Dez Bryant was a contributor, or you can make the case and say that, you know, they're building for a much younger, much more high-paced offense that didn't really fit Dez's style. And, you know, none of us will really know for sure why Dez Bryant was released. But I will say that, you know, if it's any indication, I think that Jason Garrett definitely has some pull around the franchise. I do know that Jerry Jones has stuck by him through thick and thin. I would say that in the clear indication, things have kind of leaned that way with Dez Bryant and that relationship with Jason Garrett. I think that Garrett has not really had the best of terms with Dez Bryant, and I think that the romance between the two just kind of fizzled out, and, you know, it was time to move on. And for the Cowboys, I think that when you're looking at what they're going to be doing in the future, I think they will pursue some options in the draft. But, you know, for what they have and the moves that they've made this offseason and picking up Allen Hurns, I think that it's a great move. I don't know if it's going to fill the need that Dez Bryant has. But now I think the bigger question is, where is Dez Bryant going to go? Yeah. And what offense is going to be very formidable to him?
So, Jeff, I mean, one of the teams that Dez came out and specifically said that he wants to play for is the New York Giants. As a Giants fan, I'm sitting here and saying to myself, on one level, I think the combination of him and Odell Beckham Jr., I think having Odell Beckham Jr. on the field would actually free up Dez and you know, give him some more one-on-one opportunities. But then there's the off-the-field stuff. How will those two guys, those big personalities, mesh? So I honestly am not sure how that would work. How do you think that would work, and do you think that's a good fit?
I don't think it's a good fit. And in fact, I would just say, even as of a couple hours ago, you know, we're seeing this idea of him wanting to play for the Giants. But then you have one Giant in particular, and Brandon Marshall, who has come up and said, nah, that's not really an option. I mean, he took to Instagram earlier in the night and just basically said, you know, sorry, baby bro, no room. And
wow, I did not realize that.
Yeah, and with that statement alone, I would think that, you know, knowing Brandon Marshall, knowing the type of guy that he is personality, and he does fit in New York because he is kind of bring that arrogance. Dez, on the other hand, Dez is going to have to deal with the New York media, mm-hmm. and not to say that the Dallas media isn't sticklers within themselves, yeah. but it's a whole other ball yes. game out there in New York yes. for Dez Bryant. He's got to think about, you know, what he says is going to be either misconstrued or taken to a new level or any number of things. You know, this is just going to be a revolving wheel for him. I don't think New York's a good fit. I think that they have so many problems, especially with the Giants. There's so many problems within an organization right now that I think they're more than just one or two offensive pieces away from contending. I think that they needed a whole defensive rebound. I think that there's a lot of things that the Giants can do. And, you know, if for Dez Bryant, I think there are some perfect situations out there. And there are some teams where he could be a day one contributor right off the bat. I don't think that the New York Giants would be one of those teams.
Jeff Hauser is our guest, national radio producer and NFL college football contributor writer for SB Nation. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Radio Hauser. And just to add to that point that you just made, Jeff, the one, again, when I first heard the story, I was really kind of split in my thought process on how it could work. But there was one big red flag when he started to almost act like a general manager publicly. One of the things that he said was, well, you know, me plus Odell Beckham Jr., now you add Saquon Barkley. Like, that turned me off as a Giants fan. Dez Bryant, who's not even on the team, making decisions on how this team would operate. So where do you think he would work? What are some other possible options other than New York that you could see Dez being a good fit?
You know, as of right now, I think that there's two teams out there who have formidable needs at the wide receiver position, and, you know, one kind of wild card. One team, a very, very good team in particular, who I think could use his services is the Denver Broncos. You have some key components in there. I mean, you got Demaryius Thomas, who just restructured his contract, and he's going to be coming back. You know, the Broncos have really missed having another go-to receiver. Emmanuel Sanders has been doing great. I mean, he has shown steady production, but they need kind of that second or third guy. I mean, Demaryius Thomas hasn't really stepped up, but Demaryius Thomas is kind of that typical wide receiver like Dez Bryant. If you put the both of them together, it could be a good situation. I think the wild card in this situation is the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that you don't really need a wide receiver for, say, but if you add him into that mix, I mean, you're talking about a playoff team, you're talking about adding a very good defense, and if you throw in maybe, you know, and I've never thought that Blake Bortles is the option in Jacksonville, but if you put a very good quarterback under center who can throw proficiently and can find Dez down the field, and, you know, you have the offensive line there that can give him time. You've got a good core of running backs. All that's missing is really a deep threat at wide receiver, a big physical threat at wide receiver. They have the flashy guys, but now if you add that into the equation, that could be huge for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Totally agree. Jeff, one thing I like to do as a host is read too much, probably, into some quotes. So Aaron Rodgers came out with something today. He said, well, I think I know my role, and that's to play as well as I possibly can at quarterback. And I always like to try and find subtext in what guys are saying. To me, some of what Aaron Rodgers is talking about is a little bit of frustration in the fact that maybe he would like to be a part of some decision processes when it comes to management. For example, Packers let go of Jordy Nelson. Packers haven't really helped him with the defense. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has earned the right to kind of get run by decisions when it comes to management and what the Packers' direction should be going in?
Oh, I definitely think he, not say earn that right, but I think if he's going to be part of that offensive game plan in the future, I think that he should be a kind of a part of that. I think the decision with Jordy Nelson, it was one of those things where you always have turn and burn in the NFL, and it's just having a stable quarterback, and given the injury that happened to Nelson and everything else, you got to think long term. You got to think, what are we doing for the future? And I understand, and I overread myself just looking at everything down the line. The one thing that I took away from what Aaron Rodgers said was trust the process. He's willing to trust the process with management there, and really what they're trying to do. But coming off of a 7-9 season, you know, we're not talking about a playoff team. We're talking about a team that they had some very crucial losses. And when you look at what they had down the stretch, you know, the three losses to end the season, that's huge, especially two on the road, one against Carolina, the other one against Detroit in the last week of the season. Those are all things that you can't overcome as just being a quarterback. I think he is very frustrated. I think that this off season and knowing everything and having, I would even go as far to say a new Aaron Rodgers, because this isn't the stable Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the past. This is a very much boisterous Aaron Rodgers who is now extremely in dismay, knowing that his time in Green Bay might be limited in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what it's about. It's about, you know, he's getting older. Jeff Hauser is our guest, national radio producer, NFL college football contributor, writer for SB Nation. Follow Jeff on Twitter at Radio Hauser. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the draft, because one story that has kind of been developing over the last week is this thought that Josh Rosen is moving down in people's boards. And I don't think it really has anything to do with talent. I think it's much more to do with personality. People are questioning whether he really loves football. Do you think that the personality part of these individual workouts in the combat, do you get the sense that we can overrate that sometimes and overlook talent? And sometimes when it comes to these draft prospects, specifically quarterbacks, it's easy to overthink the room. What is your impression of Josh Rosen moving down on people's draft boards?
Oh, I think that teams overthink a lot in the draft. People look at analytics. People look at, you know, Wonderlic scores. They don't look at athleticism more times than not. They just look at, what is this player going to represent? I mean, now this is a whole stretch. I mean, you look at the draft back in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, you bring guys in for an interview, and then they leave. Now there's such a huge footprint that is out there in the social media world and everything else, that these guys have an entire database on them already collected.
Yeah.
And you have people, and I've even heard rumors in this draft cycle that, you know, people believe, and there's one quarterback in particular in Baker Mayfield, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, who believes that a private investigator has been following him. So there's so many things that are revolving around that you got to think, what are teams really thinking? What are they looking for? And I think that's the bigger thing, you know. And you have these guys who are trying to come in as scouts and find the right talent for their needs or for their team. And, you know, Josh Rosen is one heck of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he has been stuck under a system with Jim Mora at UCLA that didn't really work all the way to his advantage to suit what he does. But then the other side of that, I've heard from many NFL sources in general that have said that Josh Rosen kind of rubs them the wrong way. He comes off as not being very polished and, you know, knows that he is taking the step to the next level. And where all this is all going to fit in for him, I see a lot of teams that are up there in the top five, and, you know, of course, you have those teams who most of them need a quarterback. They're really passing on Josh Rosen, and it's going to be those teams that look, you know, later towards the first round or middle first round to say, are we going to take a chance on this guy, or are we going to let him fall because we have this other guy who is there, who had a good interview, who wants to be a team player, who isn't going to come in and be the one-man band. That's really where it is now. And plus, there's such an influx of quarterbacks in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if the top five, if not top six, are taken in the first round.
Yeah.
That's just a brief assumption, but I look at that and say, you know, you have all these factors where teams could go, and really, you know, there's a whole bunch of cards out in the air, and teams have to make decisions on who their next franchise quarterback is going to be.
Tell you what, this draft, I've been following the draft really closely for about the last four or five years, and I can't remember a year over the last 5 years where I've gone back and forth so many times on what I think is going to happen within the top five. It really is amazing. Jeff, I wish I had more time. We'll have to do it again. Jeff Hauser, national radio producer, NFL and college football contributor, and a writer for SB Nation. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Radio Hauser, that last name, Hauser. Thank you very much for staying up, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Oh, as always, thank you for having me.
Yep, we're back after this on SB Nation Radio.